how we get trapped by technology, which is so good for us, but then when it's not there, oh my goodness, we have to turn to the hymnal. That's a good lesson to learn as well. I invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. And we come this morning to pick up our study once again of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. I'm thankful as I was gone for Elder Lou and Zach, who came and filled the pulpit with faithfulness as men of God to the Word of God. I'm grateful for that as well. And you'll remember, as we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer, that it falls into two sections, if you will. In the first section, the petitions focus on God and His kingdom. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But then the second half of the petitions focus on the Lord's Prayer, focus on the needs of us, or of God's people. And so today, give us this day our daily bread, forgive our sins as we forgive others, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And sadly, often we see these two sections of the Lord's Prayer as separate. In other words, there's this part for God, and then there's this part for us. But the reality is that they're actually both together, meaning it is about God and His kingdom. And then it is about asking God that we, His people, would have what we need in order to fulfill the first three petitions, focusing on the Lord and His coming kingdom, and recognizing that God in His grace will provide for us spiritually and physically all that we need in order to fulfill His greater kingdom purposes. So it's not really just about God and then us, but it's all together as God seeks to fulfill His kingdom purposes both in us and through us. And so this morning we come to this very strange petition. And I say that it is strange because it is really, if we think about it for a moment, it is very hard for our ears in a Western world, in an affluent culture, to think of this prayer request. And that is, give us this day our daily bread. So would you pray with me as we come to the Word of God and to the God of the Word. Father, we are so grateful and thankful for Your Word. And in this passage this morning, You have called us to ask You for our daily bread. And Father, I pray that You would teach us that which You would have us learn from this petition. Would You open and reveal our hearts to You, and more importantly, to ourselves? For You already know our hearts, but it is us who need to know not only our own hearts, but more so the heart of God, and how we can learn to find joy and contentment, not only in the things that You provide, but in the God who provides them. So grant us Your grace, we pray, this morning. Pour out Your Spirit upon us and bring conviction to our hearts, for Your conviction to us as Your children is good, and it is always in accord with Your will. And so we pray not only for conviction, but we pray for a heart to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit in order to be transformed by Your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Throughout church history, we find men and women who have taken a mustard seed of faith. Jesus said that all we need is a mustard seed of faith, and we can tell the mountains to be thrown into the sea. And it is a small amount of faith, but it is in a great God. And we have seen men and women throughout church history take this mustard seed of faith and place their trust in God, not only for salvation, but also for their everyday needs and for protection. And what they have seen is that God has been faithful to provide for all that they need. George Mueller was such a man. He was a German playboy who came to know Christ in his early life and was transformed by the good news of the gospel. And one of the things that George Mueller did was he actually said, if I'm going to believe unto God in salvation, I'm going to take him at his word. And so he and his wife sold all their possessions and gave it to the poor. And George Mueller began to open up, he was German and he came over to England, married an English woman, and they opened up orphanages throughout the city of Bristol. But what George and his wife decided to do from the very beginning, and they were faithful to it to the end, is that they would never, ever, ever make their needs known to people. They would only make their needs known to God. And so they had this faith-based ministry, and it was incredible to see the answers that God brought forth to George and his wife and to the orphans. Story after story after story is told that there were some times that George Mueller would actually have the orphans sit at the table in front of a table that was bare and empty with plates that were empty and begin to pray, thanking God for the food that he was going to provide. To only have a knock on the door and all of a sudden God had placed upon somebody's heart to bake bread or at one point in time a cart on the way to market broke its axle and all the food was going to spoil, and so they just brought it to the orphanage. And answer after answer after answer from God of his provision. And the question is, why does that not happen today? And there could be one of two reasons. One is that God doesn't do those kind of things today. God doesn't show off his glory for his people today. And I don't believe that that's true. But the other reality might be that things get in the way of us actually entering into God's presence with such a reality, such a relationship, such a trust, such a belief, that we too might actually come and ask God, give us this day our daily bread. And this short prayer request is really learning to trust in God as God's people, to find rest in God, and to find contentment not only in his provision, but also in his very purpose. And I want you to notice that a number of things about this request that I believe is often ignored as a people. Meaning we pray it, but let me ask you simply this question. When was the last time you ever truly, from the bottom of your heart, asked God for your daily bread? Now, don't get me wrong, we thank God. We begin our meal by thanking God for what he has provided. But if we honestly look at our daily lives, I would suggest to us that very few of us have ever prayed and said, God, would you give me today what you have in store for me? And the reason we don't do that is because we have plenty, and the things that God has provided are already before us, but we fail to ask him for that. And so so it is easy to have thanksgiving as a response for what God has provided, but it is very different and often difficult to request in faith and trust, asking God to give us this day our daily bread and having him respond to us instead of us respond to him. And I believe that the reality, the reason for this is because we live in an affluent culture. We already have. Many of you have heard this example before, but I'm going to share it again because I just thought it was very profoundly clear. It came from one of our modern day prophets, Bart Simpson. A number of years ago, actually it's been almost close to 20 years, there was I was watching TV and there was a special for the Simpsons Thanksgiving special. And all the cast of Simpsons was gathered around the table, and Homer asked Bart to give thanks for their food. And so Bart began to pray. God, thank you for this food. Actually, we bought it ourselves, so thanks for nothing. We bought it ourselves, so thanks for nothing. See, not only do we stop giving thanks, but we actually never really ask God, what is your provision for me today? And what begins to happen in our lives is we lose sight of the very person of God and the provision of God. And that's exactly what we see in the passage read for us in Exodus. It is God who has brought forth this provision. And notice that in Exodus, often much like our lives, it is not a request, God, give us today our daily bread, because we know that you have protected us. We know that you have guided us. We know that you have delivered us. And so now we ask you for what we do not have. Instead, it begins with grumbling and complaining. And here we see why. We either ask, we either don't ask, and that's why we don't receive, or we begin to see our desires, or mostly our wants, and we begin to grumble and complain. And God provides for them morning by morning and every evening quail. And yet in the midst of that, the people of God continually, even because God's provision is present for them on a daily basis, they forget, they hoard, and then they stop trusting and resting in God. Later on in Exodus, they will complain, it's only manna. Why do you only give us manna? Why is it only quail? And the miracle of God's provision is lost because it is present every day. And brothers and sisters, I would suggest to you that it is very similar for us. In a culture of affluence like ours, in many ways, such a prayer request seems very silly. Why would we ask God if we already have? Meaning it's right there in front of us. We have the opportunity. And so much like the Simpsons, we're not only not thankful, but we actually never ask God for our daily provision of food. And we're the lesser for it, because we lose sight of who God is and we lose sight of his daily provision. Now, in God's providence, the last two Sundays I was in Bolivia. And as you will hear in my report, Bolivia is a country in South America that has the lowest cost of living in all of South America. In other words, people, poor people from other countries come to live in Bolivia because the cost of living is very low. The median income in Bolivia is $300. My counterpart, the pastor who was translating for me, makes $400 a month. $150 of that goes to his mortgage. And he says, if we don't have any medical issues with our family, we can actually save a little bit. And so here we have this very different culture. But one of the things that I found as I fellowshiped with the people there was this profound, joyous contentment in the Lord's provision for them and their wonderful willingness to share that provision with others, including myself. Now, I don't say that to shame us, because to compare Bolivia and the United States would not even be like comparing apples and oranges. It would be like comparing apples and a horse or something, because they're profoundly different. Our cost of living is significantly higher. Therefore, our wages are significantly higher. But in many other countries around the world, especially in the third world countries with low income and cost of living, this prayer request is actually a reality. I don't know today where my bread will come from. God, would you in your grace provide for me my daily bread? Because it's a need, it's a dependency upon God. And if we think about it, how many people in our nation, for how many of us, have we ever truly prayed this prayer request? And we pray it every Sunday as we come, as we close our service, as we will today. But how many of us have ever actually prayed, give us this day our daily bread? And I want to ask us some very practical questions. What would actually happen in our lives as we came into God's presence every single day, every single meal, whether we had food on the table or not, and we were actually serious about asking for this prayer request? That we would come before our table laden with food and we were to say to God, give me today my daily bread. What would be the results of that in our life? And so I want to ask simply two questions. What the results would be, and then how could we actually begin to do that? What would the results be? First of all, I would say to us that if we truly came to the Lord, even if we had in abundance and asked for our daily bread, the first thing that would happen is we would become more aware of God in our daily lives, and we would begin to understand his plan and his purpose in daily guidance, in protection, and in provision. Give us this day our daily bread would help us to become aware that our daily bread actually doesn't come from schnooks. It comes from God. But most of us say, I'm not exactly sure about it. Now, we say that because we know it ultimately comes from God. But that's not how we live our lives. Give us this day our daily bread. And what about the results? We would become more aware of God. We would become more aware of, we would also become more aware of other forces in our lives to which we bow. Now, there are times where we say to ourselves, should I take seconds? Or some of us, should I take thirds? Right? But who are we asking? Are we asking God? Or are we actually saying, does my body image allow me to have seconds? Does my diet allow me to have seconds? See, other things, not God, are the places where we go and ask the question, can I afford to have seconds? Can I afford to have thirds? Can I actually have this muffin for a moment on the lips is an eternity on the hips? And our, no, hear me. We ask our hips. So we do ask, but we don't ask God. We ask whether we can afford it in how we look, in how our clothes feel, in how our diet is going. But we're truly not always aware of God. The second thing after awareness of God is we would become, if we truly prayed this prayer, we would become more thankful for what God, not schnooks, This sermon is brought to you by Schnucks. No, I'm just joking. That God has provided for us. In other words, I wake up and I breathe because God has granted me grace. I have health to go to my work because God has granted me health. I have been protected on my journey to my work because God has protected me. And I have worked to the best of my ability because God granted me ability. And I received a paycheck because all those things have brought forth from God, and God has provided. Therefore, I am thankful. And over time, we would recognize that our food and in fact, every good thing comes from our Heavenly Father. And we would not only become more aware of Him, but we would become more thankful to Him. That He is the one who gives because He already knows our needs. But what gets in the way of our needs is our wants. And all of a sudden, we recognize the idol of self. What controls my life is not really God, but me, myself, and I. And my desires, my wants, not necessarily my needs. The third thing that would happen is that we would worship God in spirit and in truth. And we would have a greater zeal for God. As we see the idols of our life, sinfulness, my desires, my heart, my wants, and we sacrifice those to God, and we lay them on the cross, all of a sudden a new spirit of freedom comes forth. And we're actually able to see with greater clarity who God is and what he means to us. And it affects our worship so that we worship more fully when we come on Sundays and in our daily worship as well. In like manner, this would over time create for us a zeal. I want to serve a God who loves me enough to provide for every moment of every day all that I need and even more. The fourth thing is that we would become less anxious. And we would learn to trust God more for our future needs because we've looked back in thanksgiving to our past. And so we would become less anxious, as Jesus said, about those things that are yet not ours. Why? Because God already knows. He knew my past. He protected me. He provided for me. He gave me today my daily bread. I have nothing to worry about. Why? Because God says in His word that our Heavenly Father already knows that we need them, and He will provide. So do not be anxious, says Jesus, about what you wear or about what you eat. But we often are. We live in a world full of anxiety. And the reason for that anxiety is not simply always psychological and medical. It is actually more spiritual than not. Because we haven't actually learned to rest and trust in God. Now, you can go to any psychologist and they will medicate you fully to get your anxiety levels down. But they will never ever draw you into the presence of God and help you to learn and trust. Now, please hear me. I recognize that there are those that have significant medical issues with that. And I'm not seeking to decry that. But all I want to say is that our world is quick to give us pills. And it is harder to learn to rest and trust in who God is. And fifth, we would become more self-controlled. As we learn to trust in God, as we learn to ask Him for our daily bread, we would learn to become more self-controlled because our our desires would be controlled by the Holy Spirit in our conversation with God than it would from our stomachs and our personal desires. What would it look like if you truly asked God, and I'm serious about this, if you truly ask God, God, is seconds part of your daily provision for me today? In other words, is this what you have provided? Because my stomach tells me it's what I want. Now the world will tell you this. The world will actually say, slow down. This is how the world deals with this. Slow down. Eat slowly. Kids, take a bite, put your fork down, chew and bite. Let your stomach catch up with your appetite. And you will realize that you're actually full. But we eat so fast and so quickly to meet our desire that our physical stomach actually doesn't tell us that we're full until later on when we're bloated and taken 50 million Tums in the middle of the night. That's me. This is confession time. And then we realize, oh my goodness. But the world will tell us that. But that's not what the scripture's telling us. The scripture's asking us to trust in God. God, is this second pork chop what you've provided for me? Or am I eating this because I, the idol of self, desires it? And because it is already present. And so I assume that it is your will because it's present. And all of a sudden we recognize that we are bowing to our own self-interests and to that which lies before us. But we would become more self-controlled if we actually prayed. Now this sounds silly. And said, God, is this your will? Is this what you have given me? Not because it's there, but because it's coming from your hand and I can trust. And if it's not, what I've already eaten is enough for me today. Now, some of you maybe are squirming and going, this is kind of silly, because we have enough. We always have. And that's part of the problem, isn't it? Is that we're actually controlled not only by our own desires, but also by our affluence and not God. Sixth, we would grow in greater contentment in God. We would actually be able to know that God is enough for me today. Jesus said, man shall not eat, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. What's he talking about? It's not simply about finding contentment in food, but it's actually in finding contentment in God and his word. And maybe the reasons we're anxious and maybe the reasons we're not content in God is because we're too full in our bellies and ourselves. And then finally, because of contentment in who God is, because of contentment in what God's provided, the seventh result would be we would be more generous. We would actually be able to afford to give. Why? Because we know that God's providing for us. He's already given us all that we need. And so we would actually be able to give the lion's share of the meal to somebody else. Why? Because we have found contentment and joy. And from contentment and joy in God comes a heart of generosity. And I would say to us, we often do not give because we're anxious and worried and we have to hoard because we don't trust God about the future. But if we came to the Lord and we said, give us this day our daily bread, he would provide. We would find greater contentment, not in food alone, but in God alone, and we would become a generous people. Well, how do we do this? How do we learn to do this? Let me give you a couple practical things. First of all, I hope that in this lesson we have wrestled with the fact that we actually never ask God for our daily food. We never actually pray this prayer in sincerity. And yet God didn't say, Jesus didn't say, hey, those of you guys who don't have enough food, those of you poor people, pray this prayer. Give me this day my daily bread. But you rich people, you're good. You're good. You're fine. No, he didn't say that. He said to the rich and to the poor, to the skinny and to the fat cats, he said, pray. Lord, give me this day my daily bread. And I hope that we have actually wrestled and recognized that some of what is actually coming forth from the Word of God sounds silly to our ears. And if it does, I want us to begin by repenting. Repent in your hearts and lives from the mindset that says, because I have never thought I needed to learn to pray, give me this day my daily bread. Now, I am thankful that you guys are thankful for your food. Please don't get me wrong. But maybe before we're thankful, we actually need to ask God. And so maybe God is changing your heart, and you're beginning to realize the idols that you answer to, the idols that you ask for your food. And maybe we need to repent as a people of God, that we are actually not resting or trusting in God. Second, make this your practice. Before your feet hit the floor in the morning, acknowledge, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Not because at the end of the day, oh, it was a good day. In the day that is yet to come, that I don't know what's going to happen, this is the day that the Lord has made. And give praise to God that he is sovereign and already knows what you need today. Give thanks to God for what he has already provided, knowing that you can trust him for that which is yet to come. Give the whole day to God. I'm sure many of you already do this. And then ask God to make you aware of his presence in every area of your life, especially when it comes to food. Ask him to make his presence aware to you in what you put into your bodies and how you eat. Third, in every area of your life, get in the habit of talking to God and consulting him about the small things in the areas of your life as well as in the big things of the areas of your life. Ask for wisdom. Ask him to guard your tongue. Ask God to protect you as you drive. Ask God to provide for you and make you thankful for the provision that he gives. Ask God, is this what you have given for my day? And help me to recognize that it is enough. And then finally, as you begin your meal, before you give thanks, ask God for the sincerity to say, what have you given me today as my daily bread? And after I have eaten that, help me to be thankful and stop. And in stopping, help me to trust that you have met my needs, though my desires and my wants are screaming at me for more. Help me to learn to listen to what you have given me, and help me to learn that you are sovereign, you are good, you are the one who provides. Help me to respond in finding joy, contentment, that I may be a true worshiper in spirit and in truth, and generous in heart. Let's pray. Father, as we think about it, I hope and I pray that you have awoken our hearts to this very strange prayer request. Strange to our ears, not to many in the world, but to our ears. But Lord, maybe more than they who do not have before them food, this prayer request is actually for us. For those of us who have plenty, but have lost our connection with you. Oh God, in your mercy, would you change us to be a people who truly can pray this from our heart and then who respond. And Lord, when we fail to respond and listen to your voice, when we feed the idol of self, when we follow our desires and our wants instead of our needs, help us to quickly repent. Help us to quickly ask for forgiveness. And help us to be in the practice of talking to you every day, in every moment, about everything. And in doing so, would you show yourself faithful as you always do? And would you change your people's heart for the better? For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to invite you all to rise if you're able.